I actually still need permission to record.
And I don't have a raised hand icon.
Abby, do you want to go ahead and start since your hand is up?
Oh, sure.
I'm not seeing hands.
Oh,
I don't think I'm seeing Abby.
Well, I don't have a webcam. I just have audio. So I'm
don't, if I don't
my
call
name
on
is
you,
there somewhere.
Be the squeaky wheel and I'll call on you.
Okay. You might see a hand in the upper left of your screen.
I don't, but we'll figure it out.
Okay.
But do you want to start?
Sure. Since how much story that you had planned, how long did you plan to spread the story over, and how much have you had to cram into season three? And did they give you time to do the cramming once you knew that season three was the end? That's a long compound question.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is that they even did it this way. A lot of shows don't get the opportunity to get their head around wrapping up a series and ending things in a way that hopefully is satisfying. So first off, we were very lucky that they handled it, Freeform handled it in a very dignified human way. And we had time. And did we speak before, Abby? You sound very familiar.
We've spoken once in person and once as a one-on-one Zoom last year.
Yep. We might have talked about that. I tried this as a book series a long time ago, maybe 10 years ago. And so I planned out a bunch of books, and much of the stuff from those loose book plans has been poached for seasons one and two. But I had an end in mind. It involved bringing it up considerably, and I was really worried that that would just seem wrong, but it actually galvanized the season, and everything else was already smoldering, but it just set everything on fire and gave us a kind of a scary pull towards the finale, which was cool. How about you, James?
All right, Elliot, last season was a very difficult one for Tally, and after what happened with Alder and Penelope, so I know that we've got a time jump here, and I'm sure that this season isn't easy for any of the girls, but where do we actually find her mentally as we get started here in season three?
Tally? Specifically, were you asking about
Tally? Yeah, specifically Tally, yes.
Yeah, so she is, you know, they're on the run with Nikta, they're fugitives from justice, there's a lot of people after them who want to do very bad things. But Tally is kind of, in the absence of Valder, she's kind of having a bit of a mother thing with Nikta, who's along for the ride with them in their fugitive life. And we see some of the dynamics with Nikta that she had with Alder. We see Tally kind of working through this mother stuff that, you know, eventually in the season, she's going to actually work out with her real mom. Slight spoiler there. But that's where she is at the beginning, but mostly they're all just desperately trying to survive and adapt to where they're at. How about you, Sammy?
Hi, such an honor to speak with you.
Thank you. So nice to talk to you.
Thank you. So my question for you is, now that you mentioned a series coming to an end, what do you think is your favorite memory of this doing the series as a whole?
Wow, I love that question. That's a hard one. I think it was a production related story. It wasn't even, I mean, it wound up on screen in a really fun way, but it was the thing that makes it a story is the production side of it. So there was a day that in season one, I think it was when Alder puppeted the president, and we were shooting Cheryl Lee Ralph's side of that scene that day. And due to some miscommunications and, you know, a lot, it's sets are wild places and there's a lot of room for error in terms of, you know, people being where they're supposed to be, and nobody could find Cheryl Lee Ralph. And it was a panic because you're always against it when you're shooting. And then we finally got her and she walks on set and gives it to us in one take and then just goes home. It was just to see that level of talent and have that be your job is pretty, pretty, pretty awesome. So that's probably my favorite Motherland story, just in one take, just like, boom, incredible.
Not surprising, because she's a badass and incredible. So not surprising at all, love her.
Not surprising, yeah. Hi, Renee.
I am so sorry about all of the background noise and all of the action going on behind me. We had a flat tire, and found the nearest place that had Wi-Fi.
I love. Where are you?
So I have a kind of a convoluted, not really convoluted question. So Motherland is all about family, about chosen family, and about family we're born into, and about how those relationships change. Is there anything that you really want us to take away from the whole series, not just the season three, but the whole series about family?
Just that in, you know, in the case of our unit, it is sort of a found family or a constructed family, but just to never underestimate how powerful those groups can be, and how, in some cases, it, you know, for a lot of queer people, these constructed families are really more of a family than the birth family. And I think there's a bit of that with the relationship of our three leads. There's just this sisterhood that keeps getting stronger, and it's challenged and it's threatened, but it's just something that they can really rely on, the way people rely on family. Who's next? Abby, I can't see you, but do you have a question?
Yes, I have tons of questions.
All right, good.
Season three is shaping up to be a tragic parallel to things that are actually going on in this country. At the time you were crafting season three, did you know that? Is there anything that you hyped up to make it more of a parallel? Is there anything you toned down because you went, this is too insanely on the nose?
I try to be almost purposefully obtuse and weird about that. I never want to too directly pull an idea in and put it on screen. What happens instead is just the weird filtering of my brain cells and stuff that I think about, and stuff that percolates in my head. But there have been a number of kind of uncanny parallels. There's one I'd love to talk about, but it's a bit too spoilery in terms of the invasion of a sovereign nation. I never want to be too instructive or after school specially about it, if you know what I mean. That's an old reference, but I just try to let it infuse, if that makes any sense, Abby.
Yes, thank you.
James?
Okay, Elliot, you gave Real of Fans a couple of very big moments at the end of last season, and it's just nice to see them together again. And even though they're on the run, I got to ask, because I know that the fandom's going to want to know, are we going to finally see some more happy moments for Rael and Scylla this season?
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't even be this explicit about it, but yeah, it's going to be all right. I mean, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings about those two anymore, and I'm not going to promise you a safe season for them or a chill season for them, but there's beautiful stuff coming down the pike for them. Absolutely. And I think it's going to make people pretty happy.
That's fair. Thank you.
How about you, Sammy or Abby?
Sure. I'm so excited about this season. I'm really looking forward to it. So what's next after this is over? You have any other future plans or...
I'm thinking about a horror project, but kind of like I did with Motherland in terms of flipping witchhood and bringing in a whole new angle with the military and everything. I'm trying to flip this idea of demons and what we demonize and kind of ask the question, wait a minute, don't people do some pretty awful things? And who's a demon anyway? So it's a flip on demonology that I'm working on right now that feels a bit darker, although Motherland certainly had a lot of darkness, a bit darker, a bit more adult, a bit stranger, and maybe even a little bit funny. So thank you for asking, Sammy.
Of course. My cat keeps trying to jump on the screen saying she's a huge fan of yours.
Well, I like that she's participating.
Yep. My little assistant.
Abby or James, you guys got anything?
Yes. Kind of a tweaky question. Obviously, the real reason is you don't want to replace your actresses, but what is the narrative reason that Abigail and Rael are so against replacing their faces?
That's such a great question, Abby. It's all the spree stuff and how, you know, they were indoctrinated from the time that they were kids that the spree is the ultimate in evil. And especially for kind of a military aristocrat like Abigail, it's just so deep in her blood and her bones that that spree stuff, spree magic, spree workings is just dirty. You know, it's a little less so in terms of her of her family growing up from Tally, but for her, a lot of people have a lot of unfinished business about the spree, certainly Rael as well and Scylla. So I think it's just the association with the spree, first of all, but painful baggage in other ways.
And the actual actual reason is you don't want your actresses.
Yeah. You got that right. Because, you know, you fall in love with people and you know, you got to have your people in the show. But thank you for seeing the multi-layered reality there, Abby.
Thank you.
How about you, James?
Okay, I feel like it's safe to talk about this because it came out in the trailer this morning. So we can actually talk about this. We saw in last season finale, Alder might not be gone after all. And we see that, like I said, in the trailer a little bit. So how much can you actually tease for us about what her journey is going to be like this season?
So I love that I can say a little, which, you know, you rightly point out, we know her story's not end. We know she was getting a little tune up underground with Mother Mycelium, right? So she comes back and she comes back on a mission. I was talking a little bit earlier about how the season is such a rich opportunity to get deeper into what witches really are. We have this prehistory flashback that opens the season. Alder is going to be on a quest for that very song that you saw the prehistory witches singing in the opening of the premiere. It's a song that could end or change the world depending on how it's sung. And the mycelium needs the remnants of that song, which are held by living people, by stewards. So Alder's back on that quest for really the whole season. And that story of this first song, I mean, not only does it really unpack what witches actually are and what they kind of did for humanity, it ties into this apocalyptic event at the end of the season that's very intense.
It's a great way of explaining that opening sequence. Thank you.
Thank you. How about you, Sammy?
Wow. I'm just like, everyone's asking such good questions that it's like they're stealing my questions. But you know what? That's okay. Okay. So, who is one person you wish you could have gotten to guest star on the show that you weren't able to get?
That's such a great question. And I'm not trying to sound Pollyanna or like too nice or anything, but we got everybody we wanted. We got such great people. Just to work with Cheryl Lee Ralph, to work with Michael Horse this year, to work with our incredible Battlestar Galactica, brilliant actors Candace McClure and Aaron Douglas. We just were able to get such incredible people. So short of Michael Fassbender for the Witch Father in season one, I think I'm at peace.
Love it. I love it.
How about you, Abby?
Sorry, I couldn't find my unmute for a second there. I want to ask a question about the antagonists, because they are drawn more starkly than our heroes. Is that because you didn't want to do anything that could be interpreted as good people on both sides?
That's a great question too. I think it was, if they're drawn starkly, it might just be a matter of, you know, at the end of the day, we have 39 minutes of storytelling and we have so many characters to service. It's hard to give everybody their due. And so I think that's what's contributing to that quality that they have. But we'll find some dimension in them this year. We'll start to understand the sick relationship between Kara Brandt and Albin Hurst. And we'll even see Silver fail to be steadfast in his evil, like he's that weak. So we'll get some more dimension to our Camarilla people this year.
But do you also feel like you don't want to show that they have
a good side?
motives that could be seen as like, oh, okay, I get that. That's
right.
Logical.
Like there's an angle on what they want that's the more reasonable version. It's a bit of that, although I don't like to render enemies or antagonists in a cartoony way that's easy to dismiss.
I'm not saying they're cartoony.
Yeah,
you
didn't. I'm just being a defensive writer.
No, there are people in reality that are more cartoonishly villainous than they are.
That's true.
But
it's a good point.
But the reality is that some people, it's like some real people, it's like there is nothing in what you're doing that I have.
There's nothing redeemable in their genocidal campaign. I mean, there's no rational angle to it. So yeah, they're pretty much 100% bad. Oh, they're so messed up.
Well, thank you for doing this.
Thank you guys.
We're going to go with Renee. Last question. She has her hand up. I don't think you can see it, Elliot.
Awesome. Thank you. I just have one.
Oh,
really
Renee,
quick
sorry if I forgot about you.
No, it's all good. I was being quiet listening. It was all great. You guys were all answering questions I had. My one question, though, and it's very quick, is have you considered doing a Revisiting Motherland and doing the prehistory, delving more deeply into that? Yeah, I would love that.
I would love a prequel. I would love an American history textbook from the motherland world. Like, I want to get into all of that stuff. But there's more to tell here, I think. Thank you, guys. This was so nice.
Thank you, Elliot.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.